Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. During this week, and probably most of this month, you begin to hear a lot about giving thanks, about Thanksgiving. The world has one meaning, and the Bible has a different. In the world, giving thanks is simply looking at the goodness of things themselves. We might call it just gratefulness, being grateful for the goodness of the things that are given. So we can give thanks in a worldly sense for the goodness of our families and our friends, for the good things that we have, a roof, a home, a hearth and a family, all the things that we enjoy and that make life actually pleasurable. That is the world's way of giving thanks. It looks at the goodness of the things. But the Bible would have us look at something different when it asks us to give thanks. It would ask us not just to look at the goodness of the things, but rather the goodness of the one who gives them, the goodness of the giver. And in the Bible, that is what giving thanks is. It is not so much about looking at the things that we have and being thankful for them. It is looking at the things that God has given and being thankful to Him. Whether or not this world counts them as good or as bad. Because we are Christians, because we have been bought with a price, we are able to look at all things as coming from the goodness of God our Father in heaven. Indeed, that is what St. Paul talks about earlier in Philippians, about the goodness of the God who, though he was God, set aside all of his divine rights and prerogatives to become man, to humble himself in the form of a servant, even to the point of death, death on a cross, so that God could highly exalt him. And through this death and exaltation, this humiliation and resurrection, through these things, God works good, which is why we can call it Good Friday. Because on it, he has accomplished the goodness of our salvation, despite the fact that it was bloody horror for him. And Jesus, God in the flesh, recognized that goodness, the goodness of the Father, not my will, but yours be done. And so as Christians, we look at the world differently, because we see it through the eyes of the Scriptures, of the one who created all things. And the one who created all things is in himself good, so that all that he does and everything that he gives is good, because he is good. And that is why it is unbecoming for Christians to have a mindset that is on scarcity. Scarcity of resources, or scarcity of personnel, or scarcity of anything in this life. In other words, it is unbecoming a Christian for us to look at all the things that we don't have, and all the things that we think we need. But rather, it is becoming a Christian to look at all the things who God is, and what God does, and how those things are good. That whatever he would have work among us is for our good, for the benefit of his church, so that the gospel would go forth and people might be saved. Too often, we get into the actions of giving thanks instead of being thankful. That it is not just something that we do, but it is who we are. We are thankful because we are Christians, because we worship the God who is good. And that is infectious. It spreads. And because we can look at the God who is good, there is nothing that we lack. As St. Paul talks about, we are content. We learn this contentment, though by very concrete things, by God's discipline. And we only learn how to understand that discipline by submitting ourselves to his word. Because it is his word that explains it all. It is his word that tells us what he's doing and what he is on about, why he does what he does. We can only give what we have first received. And so in order to be thankful, that is, that thankfulness would be the very means by which we live, the way that we view the world, our mindset, our ethos, we must receive that which God gives, chief of which he gives in worship. When we meet together as church, the way St. Paul says it, when you come together as the church, God visits us. He comes into our presence to deliver what he accomplished for us on his cross. He gives to us the very grace and mercy that he won by his death and resurrection. He gives us the forgiveness of sins. He welcomes us into his presence as a member of his own family, as a brother of Jesus and a son of God the Father. Worship is primary as a church. This is the tie that binds us, the blood that is thicker than family. We are bound together by word and sacrament to be God's own family, knitted together to help and support one another in every physical need, or spiritual need, or emotional need. And we do not see that as impinging upon us. We see it as a joy. For the joy that was set down before him, Hebrews says, Christ endured the cross. He did it for joy because he saw what it accomplished. We are to have the same mind among ourselves, St. Paul says in Philippians, that we would for joy give of ourselves to one another in any and every time of need. And so we do, because God is good. And not only will what you do for your brother and sister in Christ in thanksgiving to the one who is good be helpful to them, but what you learn about yourself in the very midst of doing it is good for you. It is a double good. It is abundant, not scarce. Because our God is a God of abundance, not of scarcity. So it begins at worship, receiving what God in Christ Jesus has accomplished. But it does not stay here. You are to worship also with your families. Say your prayers before your meals, giving thanks to the God who is good, who has given us this, even if you don't like how it tastes. Even if it's broccoli or sauerkraut or some other such thing. You recognize the goodness of the one who gave it, and you are together around that table eating the things that God has given to you. Even through whom God has given it to you. You're to gather around family worship also before you go to bed and when you get up in the morning to give thanks to the God who gives us life, not just life in eternity, but the God who created me and all creatures, who gave me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. Then, in other words, what happens on Sunday fills the whole week. And this does something to you, perhaps that you are not even aware of. It makes you thankful. Because you begin to see God's loving hand in all that has happened to you. The way Moses points out to the Israelites what he had done for them, even in the midst of their grumbling, that he gave them food, that he did not let their feet swell or their shoes or clothes wear out, and that what he has given them in the new land of promise, abundance, not scarcity, but contentment within that. And that is why St. Paul goes on to talk about returning thanks in your offerings. That just as he does not have a mindset of scarcity when he gives to you, so also you are to have a mindset of abundance when you return thanks to him. When you help and serve your neighbor, when you give your tithes and offerings to church. And here is a good time to talk about tithes and offerings to church. As we all know, we have struggled as of late. God has blessed us immeasurably. And that has not been reflected in the tithes and offerings of our congregation. St. Paul would have us put our local congregations before all other giving. That we are to give of the first fruits of what he has given to us a generous proportion. regularly. The standard in the Old Testament is 10%. We have received more than the people of the Old Testament. Generous. If 10% is difficult for you now, then begin with 1 and seek to do better each and every year. The prophet Malachi says, "Test the Lord in this. Give generously to the storehouses and see if they do not overflow, and what you may be able to do in your community because of it." Test the Lord. See what he will do, so that the gospel may go forth and that people may be saved. All because God is good, and we give thanks to him for his goodness. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus into life everlasting.